In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Taylor, Darren Prattley and Carlin Grant, all star in The Taming of the Shrews. The Addicts were laughing all the way back to London. Welcome to Charlton Live. So a very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio, coming to you live from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez, joining me here in the studio in SC7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's very comfortable 3-0 win at Shrewsbury Town is Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Oh, I'm very good, Louis. How
yeah,
are
did you?
You
yeah, did you enjoy the game yesterday? Not
that
a bad
was
one.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good. Glad to get one over on him.
Yeah,
after,
yeah.
After what happened in May. Yeah.
I mean, as we all know, that was once again the real quiz. Playoff semi-final victories count for nothing if you don't go up. Winning a league game yesterday is more important, in my opinion. On tonight's show, we will be hearing the highlights from that spectacular 3-0 victory from Valley Pass. We're also going to hear, of course, Lee Bowyer, the Charlton Athletic manager. We're going to hear his full post-match interview. We're going to hear from our new fullback, Ben the Cat, Purrington. We spoke to him after yesterday's game. And then we're going to have a few debates. Now, Lee Bowyer came out yesterday and said that he thought that, you know, the top two is very much within our sights now. Of course, we're only 3 points off Luton Town. So I want to know now, put it out on Twitter, are we genuine top two candidates now? Don't forget, we've played a game more than most teams, or two games more than some in our situation, but we're only 3 points off that top two. So now, can we realistically say we are now looking at the top two rather than the playoffs? Because I know I've certainly been saying playoffs the whole time. But, you know, what do you reckon? Let us know. Email us, studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can almost also head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well. Now, just realised I forgot to send the stream live, so we're back now. Sorry about that. But we're going to talk about something else tonight. The safe standing. Now, at Shrewsbury Town yesterday, they've got these new safe standing, the rail seats behind the goals. So I want to know if you guys Would you like that at the Valley, basically? It looks like a really good idea to me, but would you be in favour of that? Would you be against that? Anyone who's got an opinion on that, let me know. And finally, because I've come up with that ridiculous nickname, Ben the Cat Purrington, purely because it says purr in his surname, I thought I'd put it out there. What other ridiculous nicknames can you come up for some of our players? So I liked your one, Lewis. What was your one that you just tweeted in?
Fossil Fuel.
Fossil Fuel. I like that very well. So any other ideas like that, let us know. Right, we're going to hear the highlights of yesterday's game in a moment. Just before we get going, I just want to mention and send Charlton Live's very best wishes to Charlotte Kerr, the Charlton Athletic women's team player, who suffered a nasty injury by the sounds of it during today's game with Manchester United at the Oakwood. The game had to be abandoned. Charlotte Kerr got taken to hospital as well. The women's team put out a statement saying that her condition has improved in the hospital. So we just want to send all our best wishes to Charlotte and to the rest of the women's team for after what must have been a very difficult afternoon. Wish a speedy recovery to Charlotte as well. We go down and watch the women's team sometimes as well. So we hope that everything will be okay for you, Charlotte. Right, let's listen to the highlights from yesterday's 3-0 win. I'm sure you can imagine Terry and Greg on her Valley Pass. They enjoyed that one, I think it's fair to say.
Headed in, Taylor with a touch away, but it'll drop Shrewsbury's way, and it's a hook shot by Lauren, just wide left of the Charlton goal. I think Phillips had it covered, but it was inside, it's to Williams. Williams has got Purrington away on the left-hand side if he wants to use him. Instead, he's got Grant shorter. Grant using Purrington as a decoy. Tipped over the bar by Steve Arnold, and it's as well it was arrowing into the top left hand corner, and Charlton have a corner. And swings this in, edge of the Bowers free in the box. Oh, and he heads it backwards. Prattley underneath it, and it's over the bar, but it's taken a deflection and away for another corner.
What a chance for Bowers.
Corbin further to his left is Okunbari. Okunbari, a chip ball back across the penalty area, and it's Dorman header into. Oh, it's a super save by Dylan Phillips.
Great save.
What fantastic save from Dylan Phillips. It was Holloway heading it back to Laurent, and his point-blank shot was blocked away by Dylan Phillips' legs.
Oh, that's cleared away up towards Taylor.
Oh, well played, Colin Grant.
Can Grant get behind? He's got a chance here. Grant shoots! Save from Arnold, diving down to his right. That's the second time Grant's tested the Shrewsbury goalkeeper. Morgan takes towards the near post. Good delivery. Flicks on by Grant. It's a no goal.
Yes!
And now Taylor got the final touch. I think he's going to claim it.
Absolutely.
Bolton, his header deflected back off the post, and Lyle Taylor got a little flick, and Charlton have the lead after 25 minutes.
Yeah, definitely Taylor sticking out. I mean, the ball, it was a superb corner from Morgan, right into the danger area. Took a flick on Shrewsbury head. I know it was Sadler or who it was that got the head to it, but it flicked off the inside of the left-hand post and back across. There's no goal line technology here, and the linesman didn't flag. Taylor finished it, and Charlton have the lead.
Haynes crossing opportunity, held up by Williams, looks to try and take him on, onto his weaker right foot, goes for goal, and Phillips parries, comes back to Bolton. Bolton ball across, comes off Purrington, and out for the corner again. Good delivery to the back post, and it's too much of it for Waterford.
And he'll blow straight
and
away.
There, is,
there you go.
There is the half-time whistle as Charlton going to the break with a one-goal lead.
Taylor trying to get under control, he couldn't do so, but he's putting pressure on the Shrewsbury defence,
and the players giving it back to Grant. 1-1, Colin Grant. Oh, it's a save for the goalkeeper. He won't get a better chance. Colin Grant gifted the chance by Norburn, and the goalkeeper stood tall, and Grant's shot was beaten away by the goalkeeper.
Kicking totally the wrong position, but hey-ho. And Solly's clearance up long. Taylor, lovely reverse ball.
And Grant's through again. Grant, can he get ahead of Cooper? Chips it over him, and he's unlucky on that occasion. He got to the ball first, Colin Grant. Chipped it over the keeper, but couldn't direct it goalbound, but that was difficult.
Yeah, that was
Grant and Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. He's
strong! Darren Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one. And I don't think Darren Prattley's scored a goal like that in his entire career. My word, what
a
goal.
He's enjoying it, no question about it. He's enjoying it. Oh, so great work on that left-hand side to release Williams, who got the ball across it. So a low one that Taylor had to turn and face the wrong way back to goal, controlled it, and then teed up Prattley. And you thought for a moment there, well, what's Prattley going to do? Is he going to try and tee up somebody else in the box? Instead, he unleashed that right foot shot right into the top left-hand corner of the keeper's net. Charlton tuned it up, and we mentioned about that, the second goal being important. Let's see how Shrewsbury deal with that.
What a strike from Darren Prattley. It was unbelievable.
hit from the Cheltenham midfielder, and even Johnny Jackson on the touchline had a word with him saying, where did
against
that
Norburn
come from?
Early border box is a decent one. It comes to Taylor with the first time shot. Thought it was in. The goalkeeper let it run.
Everybody thought that was in.
Everybody in the crowd thought that was in. The first time shot from Lyle Taylor.
Away on the right hand side. Taylor with Grant in the middle. Taylor ball across goal is cut out by Sadler. Comes back to Taylor. Taylor looking for an angle for a cross. Does get it on his left foot, crosses it in. Controlled down by Prattley. Prattley back out to Taylor. Taylor, ball across goal is a good one. About post, it's almost an own goal. Bolton dives in and his attempted clearance does indeed go out for a Charlton.
Battling by Williams on Lauren, and his ball back in is ricocheted off Grant, and Grant's away and into the penalty area here. By the penalty spot, can he finish? No, again the keeper saves. And Carlo Grant said, no luck at all in front of goal this afternoon. And Shrewsbury try and bring it away on the Charlton left.
Williams takes a kick, maybe so at the back, but it's headed clear by Waterford, but it'll drop to Grant. Strangely deep at the moment, heading towards the corner of the penalty area. Chip back across, Taylor's there. So is Bauer! Oh, just wide of the post with a header.
Thought for all the world Bauer was going to finish that, and it went wide of the post.
Oh, it's Nabisar behind him. Nabisar swings it out to the Charlton left-hand side, and Grant has gone all the way out there to pick it up. Takes his man on, and that's superb from Carlin Grant. Goes past Bolton, in towards the corner of the penalty area. Oh, that's that a penalty? Yes, it is!
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not either.
It.
But a penalty it is. It was a lunge in. I think that was from
Grant.
It was. It's Grant, yeah. On inside the penalty area on the left-hand edge as Charlton attack. Whether or not, I thought he might have got something on the ball, but he may have clipped Carlin's leg before he got there. And Charlton will have a penalty to surely put this game away.
I thought from our angle, it looked like Grant got a little touch on the ball before he took out Grant in the process. But Charlton will have it. And what a
Carlin
chance.
Who's going to take it as well.
Oh, if there's anyone who deserves this goal, it's Carlin. He's missed.
Carlin Grant to step forward to take this penalty. Takes
yeah,
it and he buries it.
In there.
Away to the right hand side of the keeper. And Charlton are 3-0 up.
That'll do his confidence. He'll get it back up. He's missed a few chances today, Carlin, that he'll be disappointed with. He's missed a couple of one-on-ones. But as I said, he deserved that. He's worked this Shrewsbury. He's the one who created that. A superb nutmeg on
that
the halfway line.
Deserved the goal.
Forward.
Absolutely deserved the goal.
He deserves the goal. And
both Lapsley on it. That's a lovely ball from Lapsley with two men around him into Marshall. Marshall, corner of the penalty area. Will he take a shot? He does!
Great
tipped
save.
Away by Steve Arnold at the left-hand post. And that is the final whistle here at the Montgomery Water Stadium. And Charlton, 3-0 winners. A ground where we succumbed last season to defeat in the playoffs. And Charlton have come back to wreak revenge on Shrewsbury.
So there we go, the Valley Pass commentary highlights of yesterday's emphatic away win over Shrewsbury Town up in Shropshire there. Welcome to everyone who's just joined us live after I forgot to turn the stream on at the start of the show. You didn't miss much, just me doing the introductions and stuff. But just to let you know, though, we are inviting you all to get involved for this evening's show. So don't forget, you can have your say on yesterday's game. We're also asking people to say whether they agree with Lee Bowyer that the top two is now a realistic ambition. I myself had said all season playoffs, but it got to last night and I saw the 3-point gap and I've seen the reinforcements that have joined so far, and I'm just starting to think, well, maybe we've got a chance here of that top two as well. So you can talk about that. We're also going to talk about safe standing, because Shrewsbury are the first club in England to have the rail seat in the safe standing seats installed at their ground. So I want to know if you would like to see that here at the Valley. If you wouldn't as well, what would your reason be? So let us know. And finally, we're coming up with stupid nicknames for our players after I've decided that Ben Purrington, because he's got purr in his name, is going to be called the Cat. So if you can think of fossil fuel is the one that Lewis came up with. There's plenty of others that have been tweeted in as well that talk about at the end of the show. Any of that sort of stuff. So email studio@charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live, or head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show, which is good, because that's where everyone alerted me to the fact that I forgot to turn the stream on because they couldn't hear us. So thank you to all of you who did that. Right, we just heard the highlights there. It's always good hearing it back when it's a win like that, Lewis, and an emphatic one. And I mean, should have been a lot more, really, if we're going to be picky.
It could have been, yeah. We had a couple of golden chances where we could have really buried Shrewsbury, but you know, 3-0 was still pretty emphatic from a Charlton point of view, because we don't tend to bury teams like that. We seem to sort of win by the odd one goal, two goal here and there. But a really, really good performance yesterday, and you know, a complete opposite to what it was like back there in May when we struggled probably over the two playoff legs. I mean, I know the sides now probably completely different. Shrewsbury lost a lot of players in the summer, but you can't take away from the guys yesterday that they really turned up and they played really, really well. Professional performance, clinical. Maybe Carlin missed a couple, but apart from that, I think quite clinical and dangerous going forward. And yeah, very impressive. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I went up there, actually.
Yeah,
quite a long way.
Yeah, it was a long old way to go up there. And like I say, a much better journey home than it was during the playoff semi-final, or just after the playoff semi-final defeat. It's fair to say, I think, that it was last season was always going to be Shrewsbury's best chance to get up, because if you don't do it when, you know, a club of that size is having a really good season, then they're bound to lose players and managers, as they did. But obviously, we're only going to concentrate on ourselves. I think the performance, for me, things are just starting to click again now. Johnny Williams coming into that midfield, the cat at left back, on the left hand side of a three man defence. He was a wing back in the first half as well. Just these couple of bodies coming back now, and just the fact that we have just made a little bit of ground. It's only a couple of games where teams have lost points now, but it's just starting to sort of open up for us, and it's giving me a little bit of hope, which is not an emotion I'm used to having.
Yeah, it is, and everyone's really, really turning in the performances. I mean, like you say, Ben Perrington yesterday, I thought it was impressive. Obviously, he's had the game time this year at AFC Wimbledon, so he was fit and ready to go. Johnny last week was very impressive when he came on against Sunderland, and obviously warranted his start yesterday, and I thought he was absolutely outstanding. A class above. Dangerous every time he picks up the ball, and he drives forward and makes things happen, and it's shoring up that midfield, and I just feel like they're clicking now, and the players that we've got to come back as well into that midfield is arguably the most dangerous midfield in the league, surely. And yesterday, fantastic, they clicked really well, and especially, you know, Darren Pratley. I think he's had a couple of difficult weeks of late where he's maybe struggled with his fitness a little bit after coming back from his injury, maybe being rushed into the side because we haven't really had the choice. But he played really well yesterday, especially in that second half. I thought he was outstanding. And to a man, everyone on the pitch yesterday was great. I was really, really impressed.
Yeah, so the team news at the start was that Perrington came in on the... when the team was announced, we assumed he was coming in at left back and Solly going over to right back. But he actually, Bowyer, decided to play the three-man defence with Billick, with Saar and with Bauer, and then Perrington and Solly as the right the wing backs, and obviously the midfielders in the front two. So it's interesting. I mean, he's never afraid to try something different. He did actually revert to the diamond in the second half, matching up to what Shrewsbury play as well. They play the diamond in the midfield. But it's nice to see that as a manager, he's not afraid to try and tinker something if you think it's going to work, and then being happy to admit if it hasn't worked. Because that first half, I mean, it's easy to forget now that, you know, that's after that second half performance where we've run out pretty emphatic winners. In that first half, it's probably a bit of a scrappy game, bit of an even game, chances at both ends. I mean, we probably edged it, in my opinion, at halftime and deserved just about to go in 1-0 up. But Dylan Phillips had made two or three good saves as well in that first half.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, as you said there, we obviously started with the wing-backs maybe to try and expose Shrewsbury for playing the same, you know, playing that narrow diamond with Solly on at right wing-back and Perrins on the other side, and just having another sort of avenue to push forward. Obviously something we're probably not used to playing. I haven't seen us play with wing-backs this season for a little while now. So, it's a complete change of game plan. And I think that's probably where we edged it. The fact that although we weren't fantastic in those opening encounters, we did look dangerous every time we pushed forward. And, you know, Shrewsbury had a fair amount of the ball in that first half, but I didn't really feel too threatened. I mean, Dylan did make a fantastic save with his feet. Again, I thought we had a really good game yesterday. But I didn't really feel that, you know, I didn't feel too worried. And then obviously when it came out in the second half and we reverted back to the diamond, it was just comfortable from there on in.
Yeah, I think Bowyer felt that their big man was sort of winning a lot of the knockdowns when they're playing the ball long in that first half, which is why he changed it up. And that's where their main sort of threat came from in that first half, and it just diminished after we just stuck another body into the midfield. Now, as you say, even though we were perhaps a little bit more open at the back in that first half, we still looked dangerous going forward, and so much of that came through the man that was the other change, Johnny Williams, getting his full debut after his cameo against Sunderland last week. I mean, it's hard to describe how when he's on the ball, he glides with it. It's like he's ice skating almost. He glides forward with the ball with purpose every time and looks to make something work. And when you've got two quality strikers, the likes of Carlin, Grant and Lyle Taylor making runs off him, I mean, that's always going to be fruitful. And we saw that in that first half. And you know that first chance that Carlin had where he cut in, where Williams played it to him on the left-hand edge of the penalty area and he cut in and had the shot tipped over. I mean, that was just a taste of what was to come for the Shrewsbury defence. The way that we were stretching them at times in that first half.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Shrewsbury really struggled to deal with Johnny Williams. And he was, in that first half when we were not up against it, but struggling a little more, he was everywhere. He was tracking back. He was making last-ditch tackles and then pushing forward as well. Extremely dangerous. And it just brings other people into play as well. You know, it gave a bit more freedom as well to Albie, who I thought struggled a little bit in that first half, a couple of wayward passes. But his delivery was fantastic. But with Johnny, he just, like you say, he just glides with the ball. And I know Bowie has maybe criticised him a little bit in a couple of interviews this week about the reason he gets injured so much is he needs to learn when to release the ball. But yesterday, I think his decision making, everything was pretty spot on and created some really decent moves. And it was good to see him get a decent amount of minutes as well. I mean, I don't think he was ever going to last the full 90, but I think he went off in about the 70th, 75th minute in the end. But he played really, really well and, a man of the match performance easily.
Yeah, Johnny Williams, in the end, he made way on 77 minutes for Mark Marshall, but he was certainly one of the best players we had out there. So that shot that Carlin had ended up with a flurry of corners and just gave us, again, a taste of what was to come, because Shrewsbury didn't deal with any of those corners, and twice Prattley had shots deflected over and wide, and then I think the second one, the referee somehow failed to give a corner after it was quite clearly should have been a corner for us again. But yeah, it just started to show that perhaps they were struggling with the set pieces that we were putting into the middle. But then a big save from Dylan on 20 minutes. Okanabire, I wrote down as a chance, but I know afterwards it wasn't him. I think it was Laurent who actually struck it at goal from close range. And it was probably straight at him, but he still had to just about adjust his feet to get something in there. Now, of course, with Chris Maxwell breathing down his neck, every clean sheet he gets is going to be a bonus for him now.
Yeah, and they're the performances you've got to turn out to hold your place. And he'd have done himself no harm yesterday with the performance. I mean, his distribution, he still needs to work on a little bit, in my opinion. But that's something that you're going to build up in game time. And, you know, he started with the jersey and he lost it to Jed Steer. Now he's back in there getting some vital minutes. He can only, you know, his performances can only improve. And we've said all along, he's a fantastic shot stopper. He's just got a couple of little things to work on with his distribution. But, you know, over the coming weeks, if he carries on turning out performances like that, holds on to the jersey, there's no reason why that won't improve as well.
Now, we took the lead just after 25 minutes. It came from another corner where Carlin had set up this superb chance for himself and he drove it towards the bottom corner. The keeper did well to get down to it and push it around the post. But then, the set piece comes in. Again, it's chaos inside the Shrewsbury box. It's flicked on at the near post. Then a defender heads it against his own post. It almost looked like it's going to go in and the keeper's just about to stick his hands onto it, but Taylor's nipped in there just before that. I think the keeper wanted to try and say that he had a hand on it, but I don't think there was any reasonable case to say that he did. And Taylor there, I mean, how nice is it to have a striker that can just poach goals like he can do something? I mean, I reckon he's probably scored 5 or 6 already from on the line this season, or certainly within the 6-yard box. And, you know, we've been without a player like that for a long time.
Yeah, we have. And it's just like you said, the striker's intuition to be in the box, in and around people causing mischief. I know it's gone against us a couple of times where we've conceded some fouls because we've maybe been a little bit too aggressive with the goalkeeper, which, well, you know, I don't really agree with. You know, he's been sort of upheld a couple of weeks with Walsall, the goal disallowed there and stuff. But it's just nice to have him in there. He's dangerous every time he gets the ball, whether it be in the 6-yard box, you know, halfway down our own half. People just can't seem to get near him. He's so good with his feet. And it's just nice to have some, you know, not just one clinical striker, but two. But Lyle's having a fantastic season, and you know, you can see why he's become a fan's favourite so quickly, because the effort he puts in every single game over the 90 minutes is second to none. And yes, another great game for him yesterday.
Yeah, excellent performance from Lyle Taylor. The game, I'd probably fair to say, it was actually a bit of a lull after we scored up until half time. I think Dylan had to deal with a couple of long range efforts touched one round the post quite well just before half time, I think, from Haynes, where he pulled it, the left back pulled it onto his right foot and drove towards the bottom corner, but Phillips held up. And then second half, and then obviously now the start of the second half, you're thinking, right, 1-0 lead away from home, how are we going to approach this? But I'd say maybe 5 minutes into that second half, I was thinking we're going to blow this because we'd already missed three golden opportunities. The Carlin Grant, I mean, for a player who's having such a good season in front of goal, I mean, he just couldn't seem to score a one-on-one in that opening stage of the second half. There was a horrible back pass from Ollie Norburn that sent him through 1-on-1. Keeper stood up quite well because I think Carlin tried to lift it over him. The keeper stood up as long as he could and managed to get something on it. And then not long after that, it was Lyle Taylor's free ball was brilliant, and Grant's got there just before the keeper and lifted it. That one was probably a bit unlucky. But you're looking at those two chances, you're thinking, oh, no, because they were two golden opportunities.
Exactly. And like you say, it's one of those moments where you think, oh, we're going to get stung here. You know, we're not taking our chances. They're going to, you know, grab a scrappy goal in the last 10 minutes, and we're going to be looking back and regretting it. But you know, they never really came out of the block, Shrewsbury, especially in that second half. And I was quite surprised with how much they struggled with the conditions, bearing in mind they were the home side. I mean, it was a bit windy up there yesterday, but I've never seen so many wayward passes from a team. It was shocking. But yeah, Carlin, his all-round game yesterday was great. It was just those two one-on-ones. Mm. He'll be disappointed, I think, especially with the first one. He took just one too many touches.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, the second one, a bit more unlucky. But yeah. Altogether, not a bad performance.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, he worked himself into those positions. He was pacey. I mean, some of the runs, and especially the run he won the penalty with later on, he was playing well. It's just when he got in front of goal yesterday, it was just a bit unusual, his finishing. But, you know, a man I've never really known what to expect with his finishing before, but Darren Pratley's goal. I mean, I know I've been quite vocal in saying that I don't think Pratley and Billick should be operating in the same midfield because I think they're too similar in what they can offer. But at the same time, I never thought Pratley had this in his locker. So again, good hold-up play by Lyle Taylor, which we're getting used to seeing now. And he just laid it off, and Pratley, I mean, he's rocketed that into the top corner. I mean, it's one of those ones I think it looked better from where we were in the press box than it does when I watched it back, because it doesn't quite go into the top bin that we thought he did, but he struck it with such venom. The keeper's, it's already passed him before he's moved, isn't it? And it's a brilliant strike.
Yeah, I mean, the highlights don't do it justice, do they? From where we were sat yesterday in the media area, it was an absolute whip, wasn't it? It was so good. But I'm happy for Darren Pratley because, I think, like I've touched on earlier, he's come under a bit of criticism the last couple of weeks. From me as well, I agree with you in the fact that him and Bielik don't really work together. I find that they seem to both get dragged into the centre of the diamond and tread on each other's toes. But yesterday, I think Pratley was a little bit more disciplined and he stuck to where he needed to be. And it was a great finish. Yeah. It was some finish. And then that just seemed to spark him into life because the rest of that second half, he was just an absolute warrior. He had the ball all the time. Bringing people into play a bit like we've seen with Johnny Williams. And yeah, I was really impressed with Darren Pratley yesterday, and we had a chat with him at the end. He was such a nice bloke as well.
Yeah, he was full of confidence after that goal, which was good to see. I mean, we'll hear from Lee Bayer after when we hear the interview later on in the show, and he says, you know, that, well, you joke that's not really Pratley's game, but he talks about it's not his game to run it past people, which is why, you know, we were missing that at times over Christmas, I think, until Albie Morgan came to that midfield. And now, of course, Johnny Williams as well, playing in the 10 role as well, can do that. But yeah, I mean, a brilliant strike, and that set us up for the rest of the season. As soon as that goal in, we were looking strong at the start of the second half anyway, but as soon as that goal went in sort of 9 minutes into the second period, then it was our game. You know, we were in total control then. And so many chances kept coming in. I mean, George Lapsley came on for Albie Morgan and, you know, almost immediately set one up for Lyle Taylor. He side-footed, and again, from our angle, I thought the keeper had let it in. I thought it had gone the other side of the post.
Yeah, it did. It was very close, wasn't it? I thought it had gone. I think I actually stood up and celebrated and hit my shin on the desk. But yeah, very unlucky. But again, George, it just shows the quality we got in that midfield for George Lapsley to come off the bench. I mean, he's another one that doesn't mind, you know, sticking a tackle in every now and then, is it? He's a proper warrior. But I was glad to see him back yesterday, actually, George Lapsley.
Yeah, obviously returning from his concussion incidents, more than one, which is unusual, but it shows that he's not afraid to put his head in where it hurts. Now, we haven't really had to mention the defensive display because it is mainly about attacking this game, but there was one bit sort of 20 minutes into that second half where Shrews were coming down the right-hand side and Naby Sarr with just a superb challenge. Oh. I mean, so, some of the people I've seen chatting away on social media, they're waxing lyrical about Nabs now, and even say some. I've seen some people suggesting they think that Jason Pearce might struggle to get back into the side.
The thing is, Piercy is a leader, and he does bring he brings stability to not just the back four but to the entire side, because he's experienced, and again, he's someone he's not afraid to stick in some last ditch tackles. But that being said, Naby Sarr, when called upon, when losing Jason Pearce, has been outstanding the last couple of weeks. I don't think you can pick a performance since Piercy's been out of the side where you think Naby's struggled. I mean, yesterday Shrewsbury were not a great side. They didn't play very well. They didn't threaten a huge amount. But Naby, he's just so sure on the ball, and that he drives forward with it now. And I'm getting less and less nervous every time he's the ball's at his feet. And I think we're sort of so used to the Naby Sarr that signed 3 years ago or whatever, that his development and his attitude since coming back from his loan at Red Star has been brilliant. And I think it's admirable to not just his footballing abilities, but to his character, that he came back with a big uphill struggle to win over, fans that are struggling in a time where their club is really up against it with things going on off of the pitch. And he's come in the poster boy for a regime, really. And he's turned the fans' opinion of him so quickly. I don't think I've ever seen a football comeback like it. I think he's been fantastic. And any video you see on social media with the players or anything like that, Naby's in there, and it shows he's a popular figure, not just with the fans, but also in the dressing room. And I'm really happy for him.
It shows the importance of being happy within yourself as well at a club. I mean, it's all too easy for people to look at a footballer who's playing badly and think, well, he should be enjoying it. He's living the life that I wish I could live. I wish I could play football for Charlton. But if you're not happy where you are, then it can affect you, and it can affect your performances. And clearly now he's brimming with confidence. He's getting a run in the side. I mean, this was a big pressure run for him ever since Piercy went out injured. We were saying at the start of it, he's got to prove himself, and he's doing it so far, which has been good to see. Now, again, I mean, James Bolton nearly scored an own goal. There's two or three times Shrewsbury nearly scored own goals yesterday.
Yeah, they had a couple of the best chances they had, but they're at the wrong end.
Lyle Taylor with the cross in. Again, shows how useful Taylor is in setting up goals for other people as well. But Bolton hacked it over. Bauer had that header. And now Colin Grant had another one-on-one. And this time he seems so determined when he burst through. The way it came to him was quite lucky. It sort of ricocheted off him into his path. And he bore down on goal. And you did see, actually, I thought at the time he's taken one too many touches, but he took this one touch that actually sent the keeper down, and the keeper was already halfway down, and then he tried to chip it over him, and the keeper just stuck a leg out. And you're sitting there feeling so sorry for him, because he'd created all these chances for himself. He was, working his socks off. He's running, stretching the defence, and it just looked like he wasn't going to get his goal. And then he finally... he earned himself the chance, and again, a superb run for the penalty. Picked the ball up on halfway, burst into that penalty area. I found it interesting, actually, listening back to the highlights when Greg and Terry both were a bit dubious about whether it was a penalty, because my initial reaction, and I'm normally a bit... Well, I'm not sure about that. My initial reaction was that's quite a clear penalty. And I, looking back at the replay, I can't see any touch from the defender or anything like that. And no complaints from the Shrewsbury player either.
No. I mean, my view from where I was sat was that I thought it was a penalty. The Shrewsbury commentator behind me thought it was a free kick outside the box, which, if you've seen the highlights, is no chance. Absolutely no chance. But it seemed like the Shrewsbury crowd thought that as well, because it was a bit of like a bit of a lull in silence. There wasn't really any protest, like you say. It went a bit quiet, and then all of a sudden the ball's in the penalty spot, and I think the moment had sort of passed, and everyone was like, oh, all right, it's a penalty. And then Carlin steps up. Takes a lot of character, to be fair, after, he's missed quite a few golden opportunities, and you think, what's going through his head, he's probably thinking, oh, am I going
to
score this?
Yeah, well, it's important to note as well that obviously Lyle Taylor is the normal penalty taker. He's the preferred penalty taker for the club, and he gave the ball to Carlin. Lyle's already got his goal. He's happy for the afternoon. Obviously, wants more, but he can see the importance of Carlin, who's had a great season so far, not coming off a game where we've won 2-0, for example, or even 3-0, if someone else has scored the penalty, and coming off disappointed because he didn't score a goal because he missed a few chances. So Lyle's thinking, look, my mate needs a goal as well.
Yeah, and that is, it's admirable. And how good is it for us as fans and spectators of a game to see your striking partners have such a close relationship? There aren't many really where you see such a close friendship really between the two of them. And Carlin and Lyle all season have hit it off, and Carlin's thrived off having someone like Lyle Taylor alongside him as well. And you know, he steps up, takes the penalty, and he buries it, and that'll do him good for his confidence after missing those chances yesterday. But I don't think he can sort of dwell on them too much, because he's had a fantastic season.
When I saw the keeper diving the right way though for the penalty, I was just in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, no, not again. but luckily it went down into that bottom corner. I mean, we still could have had a couple more. And Mark Marshall, as we said, came on for Johnny Williams just before that goal, and he had a couple of chances, a good save actually from the stopper right in injury time. But we hold on, 3-0 win. You come in to find out that Portsmouth have lost at home. You come in to see that Sunderland and Luton, who are playing each other, have shared the points as well, so that's dropped points above us. We're three points off that top two now. We're playing with confidence, players coming back at some point from injury. I dare say we'll lose some more to injury, but you know, there was just something about yesterday, something I don't know if it's the addition of Johnny Williams, who looks a real player for us, and just a left back coming in who can just shore up that defence as well. But everything for me, it just felt like everything's just sort of falling into place now after that win yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And like you say, from the point of view of a left back, we haven't had one for the majority of this season. You know, Lewis Page was injured back in September. At the Scunthorpe game, and since then that defence has had to work out of balance. Effectively, there was a period where it was completely out of balance. We didn't have anybody that could play. You know, we were without Patrick Bauer, and we were playing Piercy on his wrong side, and that problem's now gone. Yes, we've lost Jason Pearce, but Naby's performing, which is good. And then we've brought in a left back to shore up that side, and Solly can go back to his original position. And that shows the back four up. And I thought Perrington looked really good yesterday. And then, like you say, with Johnny Williams, he's the sort of player you probably call a game changer. You know, we've got a great squad, but when you look, you know, we look down at the teams that are up there and look at their squads, and you know, they're like, oh my God, you know, Charlton got Johnny Williams, is this Premier League footballer. You know, a couple of years ago he was in the semi-finals of the Euros, and now he's playing in League One, but for Charlton. And he's someone that's obviously here to prove a point. So his performances are through the roof. And I'm really happy. I'm glad we signed Johnny Williams. I was excited with the signing as soon as he came through. And, you know, he's living up to the expectation a couple of games in. So let's hope he can keep it up. And I'm sure he can, but it's looking positive. I mean, the concern for me is the games in hand around you. But you can only look at what's in front of you. You know, they can still lose those games. You know, Portsmouth lost to Blackpool yesterday. Sunderland aren't unbeatable. Yeah. You know,
I mean, everyone says that, you know, you'd rather have the points on the board than the games in hand, which is of course because, as you say, you can go on to lose them. Although it does work the other way when you have got games in hand. You go, yeah, we've got games in hand, we'll be all right. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. I mean, a couple of the stats that came out from yesterday. I mean, that was Shrewsbury's second home defeat in all competitions in, what, 18, 19 games? That's an incredible home record. I mean, it shows, you know, the fact they're down the bottom shows how badly they do away from home.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that is a tough old place to go and win games, and not many teams have done that this season. And so that does send a real statement to the rest of the division as well.
Exactly. I think the last time they lost at home is actually to Sunderland, you know, and they're a team obviously up there with us. And, I mean, obviously Shrewsbury are really performing poorly away from home to be down there. I mean, they're only 3 points off of the drop now, so you know they'll be looking at what they can do to try and improve, bearing in mind they were in the playoffs last year. But in terms of, you know, for our performance, it's a real you know, it shows how well we've played yesterday to go and get the points from there, not just scrape a 1-0 victory, but to, you know, to play them off the park and to you know, as be outstanding as we were yesterday, because we were brilliant again. You know, it was another second half like Sunderland last week. We were fantastic, and again the second half yesterday we were brilliant.
I mean, the local Shrewsbury journalists that we were talking to after the game as well, like Lewis Cox, who we had on the Thursday show, they were mentioning that they felt that the Charlton were the best team that they'd seen so far this season. Don't forget they go home and away with Shrewsbury, and so that's promising. Now, another stat that I noticed the night before the game and now updated this morning, I don't know if this is good or not. So basically, Charlton now are the team that have led for the most minutes in Sky Bet League One games this season. So we've led for a total of 1,028 minutes in games. Portsmouth are second on 987, Barnsley are third on 939 minutes. So we've led for over 1,000 minutes in games. Now, I'd say that's a good stat if we were top of the league, but because we've been winning more than anyone else. But either it means we score early in the games we do win, or we chuck away leads at times. But
yeah, it sounds like we lead for the 89 minutes. Then we can see it at the end, isn't it? It's one of those stats where we always seem to
to concede an equaliser or whatever right at the end.
Yeah, so at least we've led some games though, which is nice exactly. to see. Right, it was a brilliant day up at the New Meadow yesterday, and of course I was delighted to speak to Lee Bowyer after the game. Obviously, we speak about the game. Also, asked him about that weird Jacko rumour to Luton. We'll talk about that after, because I sort of couldn't explain sort of what happened. But then, yeah, it is a weird one, but he's not going to Luton. But we'll hear about that anyway. But yeah, this is what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's emphatic win up at Shrewsbury.
Yeah, I think we deserved it. I think first half, we didn't pass it really. First half, it was driving me crazy. Whenever we did, on the odd occasion, we passed through them and created chances. I think, and then second half, we passed it more, and then we created chance after chance. Carlin could have had four, he missed three one-on-ones. Pat had a good header, should have scored, should have been seven really, six or seven it could have been, you know, on another day. But I thought the front three, Lowell, Carlin and Johnny were excellent, and that's what we have good players and that can hurt teams that go the other way, and we look solid I think today as well at the back. And I think, yeah, as a team performance, I think it's very professional and very good.
So as we've come out of this busy Christmas period and now back into the second half of the season, there's no better way to set yourselves up for the remainder of the campaign?
No, and I've just said to them, like, we'll get promotion, but you have to do this every time, you know. Like, we can't drop our standards. If we keep doing this, what we've just done today, then there's no reason why we can't go and win every game. Like, and I believe it. We've got a very good side and a good squad, and on our day we're a very difficult side to play against, and we've just shown that again here, because not many teams have come here and done that here this season. They haven't dropped many points at home, so or they ain't lost much at home, so I'm really happy.
I can't imagine they would have seen many better goals down here than Darren Prattley's one this afternoon.
No, it's not really his game, is it, Prattley's? But yeah, top corner. I'm pleased for him, you know, because he's got a couple now recently. So, yeah, he works so hard, and he gives us something different in the middle of the park. You know, he's not going to go past three, four players, but he competes and works so hard for the team. You need players like that, and so I'm pleased for him to get a goal like that. It's very pleasing.
And you went with a different formation today with the three at the back. What was your thinking behind that?
Do you know, I just thought, because they thought that there's a good chance that they'd play Diamond, or even if they played the 4-3-3, I thought that by having wing backs we can get them higher, and if they did play Diamond, then we could maybe pin them in a bit more, you know. But we just didn't use it. We didn't use that. So, and their 10 was picking up a lot of balls when they was going long. It was dropping down, and he picked up quite a few second balls. So I changed it halfway through the first half and went to the Diamond, and then I thought it was better for us.
And they're able to hand a couple of full debuts out today. So of course Johnny Williams got his first start, and the new fullback Purrington. What did you make of those two today?
Very good. I think Ben, solid, exactly what I got told. He's going to be a 7 every game. Gives that stability down the left hand side, which we've been missing so much. He competed, he was up and down, getting up and down, giving us the width out wide. I thought he was very good for his, like, he's only trained a couple of days with the lads, so he'd get used to it more, the way we play. And Johnny, obviously, he's very good, isn't he? He's so clever. I'm very pleased with the pair of them.
This momentum now that you're building, important, of course. A couple of sides above you dropped points as well today, which could be vital as we carry on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about the other sides. I think if we just concentrate on what we have to do, then it's in our hands. I honestly believe, OK, we might be a few points behind them, but it's in our hands. Like, if we do it properly every game, then I think we'll be up there, yeah.
Just finally from me, I don't normally comment on bookies' odds on things, but a few Charlton fans have noticed that Johnny Jackson is quite short odds for the Luton job. I mean, have you heard anything about that? Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't think Johnny does either. So, no, apparently someone put something out saying that Johnny had a meeting and yesterday, and Johnny said, well, that was a quick meeting because I wasn't even there. So, no, there's I don't think there's any truth behind it.
Cheers.
Yeah, you touched on it already, but I think they've only lost two league games here this season. Does that make the win even more impressive?
Yeah, it just shows, you know, like, we're a very good side, and when we do the nasty side of things, the dirty side of things properly, then what we have going forward, we're always going to hurt teams. So it's on a difficult pitch as well. It's a bobbly pitch, and in the second half, I thought we passed it really well, and we carved them open, I think, on a number of occasions. But yeah, it's a difficult place to come, and the lads done well today, and they worked hard. But it was a professional performance, and they deserved it thoroughly to win.
Yeah. And why wasn't Nicky Jose in the squad today? Was he injured in the selection?
No, he just wasn't selected. If you see, like, we've brought a couple of players in now, and we've got players coming back from injury. George obviously came back, so there just wasn't room for him.
I think you said you want to sign an attacking player before the transfer window ends. Is that right? You said that before, right?
So, well, I'd like to maybe bring in another attacking player, but at the moment I'm happy with what I have, and there's no rush to bring anything like that in. I think we've got some attacking players, so as we stand today, I'm happy with what I have at the moment.
Yeah, because I asked that because if you did sign that attacking player, would that open the door for Nicky Jose to go out on loan? Or is that too far down the line?
I don't know. That's not even crossed my mind. So.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley.
Oh, my word! Darren Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Just heard there from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, after yesterday's emphatic win up at Shrewsbury Town. Obviously in a good mood, although he never sounds it really. every now and then he'll make a little joke or something. But yeah, no, someone was saying to me yesterday, never too high, never too low, and that was Curbs's mantra, and that seems to be what Lee Bowyer's living by as well, which is good. Right, don't forget, later on tonight's show, we're going to hear from Ben the Cat Purrington, our new left-back. We're going to hear from him later on. We're also going to have a couple of debates. Now, we've got a few tweets and emails in about a number of subjects, including, of course, yesterday's win. Another one I wanted to ask about was safe standing, because Shrewsbury have the safe standing set up at the back of the stand behind the goal opposite the away end. And I went up and had a look when I got there early on, and I thought it looked absolutely brilliant. And it is safe, you know, there's rails there. Everyone has an assigned place, so that is safe. That's the important thing. Obviously, we all know what happened. The Hillsborough disaster years and years ago that caused stadiums to become all-seater, and things needed to be improved, and they were. But now there is a new safe way of getting people standing again, and people do enjoy standing at games. So we were asking what you guys think about that. Would you like that here at the Valley? If you did, where would you put it? That sort of stuff. And we're coming up with stupid nicknames for players, because obviously I've decided that Ben the Cat Purrington is a good nickname because it says Purr in his surname, because I am sad. But if anyone can think of, I mean, loads of good ones have come in. Anthony Steeldick is a good one that Freddie Wells sent in. We've got a few that we're going to read out later on in the show as well. Right, but I'm going to start off with the tweets after yesterday's game. Andrew Wheaton said, seems Shrewsbury had their chances. So did we, with Carlin missing too many one-on-ones. Nevertheless, Williams seems to have filled the void left by Cullen's injury. Yeah, it's a tough one, actually, because obviously Cullen's more of the defensive player. So I think, for me, Williams is coming in the Aribo position, like someone who can hold. I mean, he actually played 10 yesterday. He played instead of Fosse, which was good to see, because it worked well for him. So yeah. so he's either filling the misfiring Tariq Fosu position, or he's filling that slightly more in the middle midfield player, but someone who can run with the ball, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe long-term, Williams will probably play the tip of the diamond, maybe the number 10. And then if Cullen comes back in, he might sit into where Albie was playing yesterday.
Mm.
So in the middle area of the diamond with Joe Aribo, and then Bielik at the base. I mean, that's what I would yeah. I would.
I mean, what's becoming clear is that we are actually, if we can get these players back, we're going to have a bit of a selection headache in that midfield, which is, I mean, that's the sort of headache that Lee Bowie would like to have.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've cursed being so short on players for so much this season, and now we're clawing people back, and we're getting that bodies back in the squad. You know, like Billy Clark, he's sort of back in and around the bench now. He's not even really featured. Cullen's there to come back. Hopefully, I think Bowie said last week he'd be in the squad Saturday, which would be a huge boost. Ben Reeves had a bit of a phantom injury. He's still there, you know, knocking on the door for a starting berth. And it's good. You know, we've got a bit of depth and strength there. You know, you forget with all those players, we've still got George Lapsley and Albie Morgan who have performed this year as well. So it's good. It's, you know, it's a good headache to have, isn't it? You'd rather have that headache than, oh, I've got to play Naby Sarr at number 10 this week.
I reckon he'd do a job.
He'd probably still do a job.
Yeah, there's no room in the pitch he won't do a job. And Naby Sarr, right. Cliff Scale said, a great performance and win yesterday. It could have been 6 or 7, but the footballing gods were not with Carlin Grant. He battled on and got his reward in the end by winning and scoring the penalty. And I am saying this quietly, but a top 2 finish is a possibility. And like I say, that is another one of our discussions we're having. I mean, I've put the tweet out there with the league table. Respond to that tweet if you want. Do you now believe that we can finish in that top 2? Because like I say, I've never really had that faith that we can.
Mm.
But now, just with these couple of additions we've had that look like useful additions, you know, the table. I was chatting with Danny Owens on Twitter last night, and I was just saying, like, this is the first time I've really actually thought, you know what, we could sneak into that top 2.
Yeah, I think someone said, I think it was even on last week's show, actually, somebody tweeted in and said that we're the dark horse. You know, people aren't really looking at us as a top 2 contender on the outside. You know, they're looking at Luton and how well Luton have done this season. They're looking at Sunderland and the profile of that club and where they are. And they're looking at Portsmouth, who are top and have created a very big lead from the offset. And then there's us below there, and people aren't really mentioning us a huge amount. And that's probably quite a good position to be in. And it takes the pressure off a little bit. I mean, I think I'm in the camp with you where I've sort of said playoffs would be a good season. I mean, at the start of the season, we were thinking, are we going to stay in the division? But you look at it now, the progression top 6 was probably the best target at the start of the season. We sort of knew that that's where we wanted to be. Top 2 is the bonus. I don't think there's any reason why now that we can't get in there. My only concern is the teams with the games in hand. But like we've touched on, you don't win them all, and you know, if they don't win those games in hand, and we're in that position, all we can do is keep on winning and keep up with the pace. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, you know, sort of come the end of February, we'll have a real idea of whether we're still in the battle for the top 2 or not.
Tom Bramley, from front to back, we were brilliant yesterday. Arguably, it was our most complete performance of the season, bar some misses from Carlin. Special mention for Deals. You could see he really enjoyed that clean sheet yesterday. Roll on Accrington Stanley. Come on, you Reds. That's from Tom. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Deals midway through the show, but I mean, there was a couple of good photos that Kyle Andrews took yesterday of Dylan celebrating at full time with the supporters, and you can see how much it means to him, because he knows he's battling for his place now, because he's got this competition and Chris Maxwell is breathing down his neck.
Exactly, and he wouldn't have done himself any harm yesterday. A clean sheet.
A couple of big saves,
yeah, exactly. The one with his feet was a good a save as you'll see, yeah. And he's getting more confident. You know, he's in there now. We heard a couple of weeks ago on the show the frustration in his voice at being dropped when he came back into the side for the Walter game on New Year's Day. You know, you interviewed him and you could hear the sort of, you know, he sounded fed up, didn't he? He didn't sound very happy. Maxwell's come in and you'd sort of be cautious that would sort of knock the wind out of his sails again and he'd be a bit down about it. But all he can do is perform on the pitch and he did that yesterday and I'm happy for him. And, you know, long may it continue because it benefits us and it benefits his development as a footballer. He's still only a young guy, but he should be, you know, he's at the age now where he'll want to be a settled number one at a club, whether it's us or somewhere else.
Mark Anderson, I mean, Lee Bowie was saying that, you know, he feels that the teams will really struggle to deal with our front three. Mark Anderson says that no one can deal with our front three. I'm looking at the top scorers in League One. Now, Peterborough also have two players who've scored over 10, Matt Godden and Ivan Toney. John Marquise is the top scorer in the league with 16, but there's not many sides that have got two players in double figures in League One. Now, Lyle Taylor's got 12 in the league. Obviously, he got his hat-trick in the cup as well. Carlin's on 13 in the league. I mean, it's unheard of for us to have two strikers in that position at this time of the year. I mean, they have to be considered the best partnership up top in League One, certainly.
Oh, definitely. 100%, yeah. Like you say, when's the last time we've had that? You know, last season, I think we were lucky if Josh McGuinness had 10 goals by May, which I don't think he actually did in the end either. So, you know, it's a big improvement for us. We've always lack a goal-scoring striker, don't we? And I know Bowie has touched on it, and managers before have touched on it as well, where, you know, if there's a decent 20 goal a season striker out there, everyone's in the hunt for him, not just Charlton Athletic. So the fact that we've had one come through our academy, you know, had a decent loan spell last year with Crawley, that did his confidence a world of good, and now Lyle Taylor's come in from Wimbledon and he doesn't just contribute with the goals, but he's been involved with, you know, loads of Carlin's goals, isn't he? Most of them, I'd say. So that helps as well. And it's good, you know. They're thriving off of each other, I think, and it's benefiting us.
Yeah, London Air Geese are so pleased. Phillips had a good game, makes him harder to drop, but he says, but first error, and he'll be out guaranteed. I guess that is the worry that some people will have, is that perhaps if there is one error, that he may go out of the team. That's not really what anyone wants to see. Right, I think it's time that we hear from Ben the Cat Purrington. He made his Addicts debut yesterday. He came to speak to us after the game. This is what he had to say. I've been looking forward to doing that all day. This is what he really had to say.
Yeah, obviously, great 3-0 win. Clean sheet, three goals. Couldn't start any better, really. I really enjoyed it. It was a great performance. I think first half, maybe we weren't quite at it. I think we then matched them up and went to a time we were a much better team. We had quite a few chances and it could have been more.
Difficult conditions to deal with as well. I mean, they don't get beat often here, but the pitch was a bit bobbly, the wind was blustering around. Did it take time to master the conditions?
Yeah, especially first half. I think it almost didn't seem like there was too much wind, but it was. And then second half, it was a lot. I think you could see from watching it was a lot better. Kicks going further, putting it in behind and low, and Tiny Grant were just absolutely on fire, really. He had four or five chances and that showed three goals.
Came to the club last week and you've seen your fellow players and now you've seen them perform. How impressed are you?
Yeah, I've only had a couple of days training. All happened quite quick, really. So, trained Thursday, Friday, 2 days still learning names and stuff. So, it's all happened quick. But yeah, it was good today. Really enjoyed it and hopefully keep it going.
And you've joined a side at the top end of the table. So, obviously, your ambitions must be to help us get up that table and maybe even get us in the top two.
Yeah, of course. Promotion's obviously the goal. Obviously, I got one last year with Rotherham through the playoffs, but this year I think it is within reach. Obviously, I think a couple of teams lost today. And just try and close the gap, really, and keep winning, get everyone to go in, and fingers crossed, you never know what can happen.
You mentioned you got through to the playoffs last season. Do you think that experience will hold you in good stead when you're towards the latter end of the season?
Yeah, obviously, last year, playoffs, I've had two at Plymouth as well. So, fingers crossed, yeah, hopefully it does. But it's a good squad here, everyone's competing to play in that, so hopefully I can just try and stay in the team. But it's a good squad and everyone's a good player, so it's going to be hard.
One of the key areas for us, of course, especially at left back, is to make sure you stay fit. So
yeah,
if you can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, I've played almost every minute this year. That was my 31st game this season, so I've had a good start, and hopefully that carries me through to the end.
Well, clear. Hopefully we haven't put the mockers on it, but well done today. It was, you look comfortable at left back. It's something that obviously as a specialist left back you're used to doing. It's something we haven't had for a little while.
Yeah. Going back to Plymouth Day, I played around a bit of utility, but yeah, over the last few years I've been out and out left back, so hopefully I can just keep doing what I've been doing and progress.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned, of course, your promotion last season with Rotherham. I mean, when you look at the Charlton squad, do you see this as a squad that's as good as the team that got promoted last year?
Oh, definitely. We even played Charlton last year and I think we lost, I think it was a 3-0 at your place, but every time we play Charlton they've been a really good team, they play good football, they're always a threat, so hopefully obviously we can replicate that this year and even push on and try and get the promotion.
What's it like trying to come straight into a team when you've only been here for a couple of days? Does it make it slightly more difficult to sort of get used to how the team plays and things like that?
A little bit, yeah, but I've had that a few times now. I kind of just, it will take time to obviously get used to different styles. Wimbledon, it was a completely different way. But yeah, you've got to try and adapt quick and try and take it all on board, else you'll be back out the team.
And you know any players before you joined that
no.
club?
No, no. Obviously, I knew of a lot of them, but yeah, playing against them quite a few times. But no, not personally, no.
Taylor towards the near post, good delivery. Flicks on by Grant. It's a no goal.
Yes! In now. Taylor got the final touch. I think he's going to claim it.
Absolutely.
Bolted his header, deflected back off the post, and Lyle Taylor got a little flick. And Charlton have the lead after 25 minutes.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. We just heard there from Ben the Cat Purrington. Amy tweeted in saying that she's listening at home with Solly the Cat, and the cat actually woke up there when we played the cat noise. Yeah, she kept reacting to that when I was recording that today, actually. Yeah, good fun. Good fun in my house. Yeah, great to hear from Ben Purrington. Just solid. Like Bo said it himself, 7 out of 10. He wasn't marauding down the wing like Royce Wiggins in his primes, perhaps. But you know, he was doing a job, and he made a solid, and he was getting forward as well a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just a solid performance. He looked comfortable. You know, we've touched on the fact he's played 31 games already this season for Wimbledon, and he looked comfortable and he looked solid. And Bayer said that you're going to get, you know, a 7 out of 10 from him every week at least, and yeah, a comfortable performance. I'm just glad we've got in a natural left back now. It'll help shore up that back four.
Excellent stuff. Right, there's a few topics running for the rest of this show. We're asking if you believe that we can get into that top two now we've gone to within 3 points of the automatic promotion places. We're going to talk about the rail seat in the safe standing section that Shrewsbury had, because I think that'd be great at the Valley. I want to see what other people think about that as well. And finally, we're doing stupid nicknames after Ben the Cat Purrington as well. So we've got a few of those to talk about. I'm going to go onto the Charlton Life Forum now. We've got loads of emails in and tweets as well to do, but Southwest Addicts, the first one on there. And they say, sounded like a perfect performance, put it P-U-R-R as well, doing the cat thing again. Excellent, right. Getting that theme running. Performance at one of the most difficult grounds in League One this season. Clean sheet, Taylor and Grant on the score sheet, and no injuries. Everything on the pitch seems to be slotting into place, and Boyer is close to having a selection headache. And then Southwest Addicts say that they think we will get into the top two on the final day because of our home form and because of the partnership of Grant and Taylor. And on the safe standing, they say an absolute no-brainer. The North Lower would be the perfect place for it. Now, Ray on the forum says, Boyer Jackson along with Steve Gallen have worked miracles. Now, before I read the rest of his message, I just realised I forgot to tell the rest of the Jacko story. So, right, Jacko was linked with the Luton Town job by people on Twitter and by the bookies. So you'll see he was odds on at one point and the favourite on Twitter, and that got a lot of tongues wagging on the internet and whatnot. Now, my initial thought was, I know this is a wind-up, because a Luton fan I know actually DM'd me saying, can you tweet about this rumour? We're winding people up to try and get it going. And obviously, I'm not going to get involved with that now, because you know I wouldn't want Charlton fans to think that Jacko was actually going. But at the same, so I just sort of left it, and then I saw it was getting bigger and bigger, and I was like, oh dear, but I probably ought to say something. But then I saw Alan Nixon from The Sun tweeted it might happen as well. I was like, oh, well, maybe it is happening then. So I did ask Lee Bowie about it, but no, he confirmed it was just a load of nonsense made up on the internet. So I don't know why the guy from the Sun got involved there, because it appears to be some sort of wind-up on the internet. But yeah, we got to the end of that, which is good. Right, so Ray says, Bowyer and Jacko, along with Steve Gallen, have worked miracles, but you can't help thinking, what if the owner actually supported them instead of this make do and mend attitude? Also, January isn't over yet. Once again, you can't help thinking he is going to sell someone to meet his running costs. He says, great show, gents, and keep it going. Cheers for that, Ray. Yeah, I mean, that is always worrying. Until January ends, I mean, I don't think, it doesn't seem at the moment that anyone seems to be out on the way out big time. But you never know, I guess, is the worry.
Yeah, we've been here before, haven't we? You never know what he's capable of doing. But I'd like to think that, I mean, I'm being optimistic, but I'd like to see that he can see the opportunity we have this season. You know, at this stage last season, we weren't in as good of a position. And at the moment, we've got a fantastic squad, a great togetherness, a fantastic manager and coaching team around him. And the formula seems right. So it would be silly to mess that up now, because he's got a chance for Charlton to, you know, to push up into the Championship via the top two, which is what we all would love. And surely that adds a bit of worth to the club as well.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Won't we? Right, Briston Addict on the forum says they think it'll be Sunderland and Charlton for the automatic places. Luton will fade away without Nathan Jones. Pompey will collapse after Jackett does his best Alan Ball impression for the rest of the season. And they've got a lot of FA Cup, a lot of fixtures coming up. FA Cup, the Chubby Checker Trade Trophy, and this year's, he reckons they'll be this year's Shrewsbury, which will be good. Posh will be dragged down the table by Steve Evans's weight and implode under his own gravitational field, and Barnsley miss out so they can win the playoffs. Yeah, it's interesting that Steve Evans, the Portsmouth, the Peterborough away tickets, I noticed a lot of them are selling as restricted view, but it's not clear if that is just because you're behind Steve Evans.
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah, Briston also says, I'm already in a safe standing section at the Valley. There's no other bugger close to me, and the folks on the back row of the top deck of the cupboard end, so we get away with standing all match. No reason why the lower deck couldn't be converted into a proper standing area. Yeah, certainly we'll have more on that as well later on in the show. Then there's loads of people asking if we're on yet, because I forgot to turn the stream on. But then Phil does say we should make the playoffs from here, but reckon we need another 35 points from the last 18 games to get an automatic place, which is a tall order but still possible, as we have a reasonable running with only 4 games left against the likely promotion rivals, Portsmouth and Luton at home, Peterborough and Donny away. Pompey and Sunderland are still favourites to fill the top two places, with Barnsley the dark horses and the team I would most want to avoid in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, I remember having the discussion towards the end of last season, like, we start thinking about what teams do you not want to face in the playoffs. So that'll be an interesting one if it does look like it's going to end up going that way later on in the campaign, which we'll see. Now, we had a message in from Phil in Eltham yesterday. He says, hi guys, we are really now starting to look like real promotion contenders, not got too carried away with Bowyer up till now. He's doing an excellent job on a limited budget. Also a word for Steve Gallen, who along with Bowyer has brought some excellent players to the club. If only our stupid owner could invest a little more, things could have been so much different for him. Yeah, I mean, Steve Gallen's very much an unsung hero. I mean, he's, judging by what Bowyer was saying, I mean, it sounds like pretty much Steve Gallen went out and found, for example, Ben Purrington yesterday. So you do imagine he's helped a fair bit with the signings that have come in, because just a player like that, he will be consistent for us. I mean, that's exactly what we need. And Gallen seems to have quite a good eye for the players, because there haven't been any players that we've signed this year that I've been disappointed with, really.
No, not at all. Even, you know, like, we've had Josh Cullen through the door, who was impressive as soon as he came in. And everyone we've signed, you know, like Jed Steer was great when he was here as well. And that does show the quality, you know, the eye he has for a decent player. And, you know, Johnny Williams and Chris Maxwell, Ben Perrington only add to that list, and they only strengthen the side. So hopefully they can all go on and be great additions, and come May we'll be celebrating.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, Sebo tweeted in saying, we've seen Blackpool, Blackburn and Coventry, whose fans all hate their owners, gain promotion with those owners. So is there any reason why we cannot do likewise? It's interesting, actually, when you see the likes of someone like Blackburn or Blackpool or even Coventry, like I said, they get promoted under these owners. As someone who's not still involved in that situation or doesn't know about that situation, you're thinking, oh, I wonder if they've sort of smartened up. But you can see even with the Charlton situation, I mean, it's against the odds. And it's still possible, even if things aren't great off the field.
Yeah, exactly. You can only do what you do on the football pitch, can't you? That determines where we are in terms of what goes on in the boardroom. Unless you're in a bit of a financial crisis, it seems like Bolton are and teams like that, then it doesn't really affect you. I mean, of course, our funding from Roland hasn't been good the last couple of seasons. We've worked on extremely limited resources. But the people that we've got there, you know, with Lee Bowyer, Johnny Jackson and Steve Gallen are working to a budget, and they're just getting on with it. And they're just, you know, their focus is on the pitch and what we do on a Saturday and a Tuesday night, and that's it. What goes on upstairs is completely down to Roland. As long as we're not, you know, on the verge of liquidation and stuff like that, it doesn't really matter what they do. I think we just want to get the club sold, don't we?
I mean, Bowes says it quite a lot. He can only control what he can control. But,
exactly.
You know, he's medium in terms of coming into the training ground, you know, during the week, and the players who are there on the training ground, you know, they have to be managed, they have to be organised, they have to be all these sort of things. And that's what he does. That's what he can do. I mean, obviously, Bowyer will at the back of his mind be thinking about squad and who would I love to sign and this sort of stuff. But day to day, he's got to worry about getting the players that are here performing, and that's what he does so well. Right, Dan Farmer, what a win yesterday. I have to admit, I was a bit nervous, but the boys done well. We are right up there and hopefully can catch the top two. Win Saturday, and there won't be no stopping us, especially with all the injured players coming back. Shout out to Naby Sarr. Some of the defensive work yesterday was outstanding, and what a goal from Prattley. We have to get behind Bowyer and the players, even if it means breaking the boycott for most. It would be great for this second part of the season if the Valley was rocking like against Sunderland every game. Apart from, of course, the away support. This takeover is BS, everyone seems to know, without really knowing. fingers crossed it happens one day, hopefully. So let's get behind Bowyer and JJ. Fingers crossed for automatic. Up the Football League we go. Cheers. That's a great email. Cheers for that. Dan, thanks for joining in. Now, Connor says, hi, I thought we were outstanding after the first 15 minutes or so yesterday. Not sure three at the back is the way forward, so changing to Diamond was a welcome change. Thought Williams looked a class above. I just love Billick in that midfield. Sarr was immense, and GNT caused havoc. Yeah, that was another good nickname that was someone tweeted me yesterday, the GNT, obviously Grant and Taylor. Shame we couldn't have scored more, but you can't complain too much. Looking forward to getting players back as well. Really think another striker is needed in this window. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we need an attacker to push Carlin and Taylor, definitely. If one of them was to get injured, touch wood they don't, but our injury luck isn't great. Hmm. You've got Vetticelli's out at the moment, and then you've got a Jose who hasn't really made any headlines since he's been here, and then you've got Hackett Fairchild who's very young, so we probably do need somebody else. I don't know who we look at. Maybe we want to bring up somebody from League 2 that's looking to make a step up.
Yeah,
or,
it's always tough, isn't it, to get a
good striker. You're not going to persuade a striker of Carlin or Lyle's level to come here and sit on the bench.
It's often a case of I think what you'll try and do is get someone who probably would play at a higher level but is maybe injured or coming back. Similar though to Michael Zyro, and it's a risk. I mean, like, Zyro was supposedly a really good player in the Championship, but obviously he had a big injury, and then he came down here and he had a couple of moments, but didn't really quite click for him. So it is difficult, isn't it, to pick up an attacker. But Bowes did say he was going to look for one. We heard in his interview there, he's asked as well if Jose would be let go. Who knows? We'll find out as the season progresses. Right, Connor also said, if we're looking to finish top two, how many more games can we lose? Can we afford to lose any? Personally, feel we can't lose more than two from here on in if we want top two. Again, what are your thoughts? Now, obviously, the season that we won League One with 101 points, we lost five. We've lost eight already, but obviously we're not aiming for 101 points this season. But we are aiming for that top two. I mean, how many? I imagine, yeah, probably 10 is probably the most you'd lose in a season and go top two. It'd be interesting if anyone's got the stats for that. Well, I mean, it's we're going to have to be consistent from here on in if we are going to hit that top two.
Yeah, we are. And I think especially at home, I know this season our home record is brilliant. And the teams that we've got to play at home, you know, like you've said, we've got Pompey and teams like that still to come here. Luton still to come here as well. If we can make the home advantage and beat those sides, then that's, you know, they're big 6-pointers in that push for the top two. In terms of our away performances, we haven't really got, I'm looking through the fixtures now, there's not really any teams that we've got to play away from home, apart from Peterborough that and Donny, I suppose, that are a threat. Apart from that, they're all teams that are down there, but the Charlton way is that we seem to struggle against those smaller sides sometimes. But I think this side this year, hopefully, is different, and we can go and go on and push for the top two. I don't think there's any reason why we can't. I think my only fear is the games in hand that that Portsmouth and Sunderland and Luton have got over us at the moment. Mm. But you, like we've said, you can only win some front of it. We can only do our business. You know, we can only go and win every game and
right.
See how we get on.
Peter Forbes says, Lyle Taylor, yellow cards. Lyle has 8 yellow cards in the league this season. When he gets to 10, he will get a further ban. I'm not sure if it's 2 or 3 games, he says. I think it's 2 from memory. Mm. But then he says, when is the date that the amnesty for wiping out previous yellow cards is? Now, I've just Googled this, and this is for the Premier League, but you'd assume it'd probably be for the same for the Football League as well. So any player with 4 or less bookings will see their card return count to 0 on December the 31st, but this will not affect players with 5 or more yellow cards who will have to wait until the next reset, which is scheduled to take place on the second Sunday of April. So I'm guessing that Lyle Taylor, he would have had more than 5 then, so I'm guessing he has to not get 2 more bookings before April. The end of April, otherwise he'll miss another game. So that's what it is for the Premier League, so I'm guessing that's what it's going to be for our league as well. Right, David Todman says, well, guys, with the signings and the injuries clearing, we have enough to make second. Pompey are having a big wobble. Luton have lost Nathan Jones. I think Barnsley and Sunderland are the challengers. We're still a bit under the radar, and both Sunderland and Barnsley have the pressure of expectations from their support. If we can keep all our players in this window, I certainly feel we will be in the top two mix. Bowyer also seems to have the strength of character to keep things on an even keel and to keep confidence high. Excellent email again. Cheers for that, David. Right, Chris says, last night I was going through the midfield option when everyone is back and the quality is incredible. Based on yesterday, where does Fosu fit in? Likewise, Reeves, Cullen, Aribo, Lapsley, not forgetting Billy Clark, and the current options of Morgan, Prattley and Billick. So much quality and so little space. I mean, we could try and play like a 10-man midfield, maybe, to squeeze them all in.
Yeah.
I would be interested to know what you think is our best option for home games and, again, for away games. Up front, I have concerns with the reliance on Taylor. Ajoze is never going to offer anything and ideally needs to be shipped out to free us some money for a striker on loan. What do you think our best midfield is? I mean, it's a tough one. If we were to play the diamond, I'd say the base of the diamond, probably Billick would be the best there for me. I mean, you could pick anyone from any of the two that can go in that middle. Probably Aribo would be in there. And then if you need... Who would be your one tracking back? I mean, Prattley does
Cullen,
a job. Cullen,
I think. I'd have Aribo and Cullen.
Yeah, and then Johnny Williams at 10. There you go. So we've picked it for you. He says up front, maybe a reliance on Taylor. I mean, obviously, Cullen's nipped in with his goals, which has been good to see. But, a third option, if we get one of those players injured of the top two, then all of a sudden it could come crashing down, I guess.
Yeah, that is where we lack. I mean, I think Billy Clark could do a job up there, but obviously he hasn't had a huge amount of match fitness this season, so I don't think we can really rely on Billy to do too much. I mean, it'd be nice to see him back in the side, but you struggle to lodge anyone at the moment, won't you, really, unless you've, like we say, unless Lyle gets a couple more bookings before before April, which I'm pretty sure he will. But with strikers, I mean, Rico's come on a couple of times this season and has done okay, but I wouldn't feel comfortable starting him from the off. And then Ajoze, he's a big game player, isn't he? He turns up at Fratton Park, but not really anywhere else. So,
good in the playoffs if we have to play Portsmouth there.
Yeah, but Portsmouth in the playoffs, Ajoze can start all day. But I think we need to bring somebody in. In my eyes, I think it's going to end up being somebody, you know, from the Championship on loan.
Yeah.
I know we were looking at a guy from Villa who's ended up going to Cambridge or something, but that was all rumours, I think, anyway. Yeah. But that'll be the sort of calibre player we're going to get in on loan, because, as we've said, you're not going to get a 20-goal a season striker on a loan from somebody, because they're not going to loan him out to be in their 11, won't he?
So. Exactly. Right, let's have a quick break here before we go into the last 10 or so minutes on Charlton Live. We'll be back in a few moments' time.
His man on, and that's superb from Carlin Grant. Goes past Bolton in towards the corner of the penalty area. Oh, no, is that a penalty? Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not either. Carlin Grant to step forward to take this penalty. Takes it, and he buries it.
In there.
Away to the right hand side of the keeper, and Charlton 3-0 up.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. We're into the last 10 minutes of this evening's show, looking back at a superb 3-0 victory over Shrewsbury Town yesterday up in Shropshire. It's a nice place to... Nice town, actually, Shrewsbury. That's the first time we've actually played there on a Saturday. There's our fifth visit there. The last, first three were all on Tuesday. Then we had the playoffs, which was a Sunday. So nice to see the town. It's a good place to go. It's one of the many lovely places you get to visit in League One. Well, one of the very few. Right, in the last 10 minutes of the show, we've got three topics that have been running throughout the evening. We're asking whether you think that we can finish in that top two now that we've got to within 3 points of those automatic promotion places. We're asking for ridiculous nicknames after I've given Ben Purrington the nickname the Cat. We've got some good ones in there, which I'm quite looking forward to. And we're also going to talk about safe standing. Now, let's talk about the top two first. We've got loads of tweets that have come in. Mark Anderson saying, I asked, is it possible? He said, of course it is, ain't it? Don't plant doubt. And that's my job. I like to plant doubt and everything. But yeah, I'm just suddenly turning into a believer. I'm sure it'll come crashing down next week, but there we go. Right, Forza Marco Motta says, depends if Portsmouth, Sunderland or Luton suffer a bad run. All have been annoyingly consistent so far. Now, just Portsmouth, I mean, you know, they lost yesterday, didn't they, at home to Blackpool. Obviously lost against us a few weeks away as well, and lost at Gillingham, but other than that they keep winning. So yeah. Even when they have a bad run, it's just like a one defeat basically, and then they win. They won beat Wimbledon, they beat Fleetwood, they checker trade games as well, which can help momentum sometimes, I guess. But yeah, we are just waiting for those teams around us to have a nasty run, aren't we? Which is unfair, really. But yes, Benny says, the way we are playing, we're in with a real chance. What squad we will have when the likes of Cullen, Reeves and Aribo, Page and Pierce are all back. Boya has us playing the best football I've seen in years. Cliff said, it's definitely realistic. We have one of, if not the best strike force in the division. And with the new signings and possibly more to come, players coming back from injury as well, we will only get better. Our rivals might have games in hand, but they need to win those games in hand. David Letchford said, yes, all we need is a right winger and another striker and we'll be fine for the top two. I mean, just quickly, Lewis, I thought Marshall looked lively again when he came on yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he looked really good. He's pacey, isn't he? And he looks like he wants to make things happen. He had a good chance as well towards the end, which was unlucky not to find the bottom corner.
Yeah, it would have been good if he'd scored that one. But yeah, he didn't, but it doesn't matter. He played well when he came on. Right, Paul Quinnell says, yes, but plenty of teams around us have plenty of games in hand. We need to keep the pressure on. Jason Fay says, yes, it's possible. As long as we're consistent, we need to be more ruthless and kill teams off when we're on top. And Bill says, always has to be, don't like the idea of playing for the top six, certainly. Don't. Right, yesterday at Shrewsbury, I went and saw their new impressive rail seating, it's called officially. It's a safe standing section behind the goal. I thought it looked absolutely brilliant. I stood and sort of leant on the bars as well. I thought everything about it looked really good. I put it out there. I mean, Lewis, what's your view on that? Where, if you could have it here at the Valley, where would you have it?
I think you'd have to have it in the North Lower, I think, at the start. Or at the sort of the back part of the North Upper. I mean, where I sit slash stand anyway is all standing, and everyone around me stands up right at the back of the J block. But I think if they were going to install it as a trial, they'd probably do it in the lower north. But I think it would be something I'd like to see here. I think it's a great addition. I mean, every home game, especially for me, I mean, I understand there are people that are going to want to sit down and watch the games. I'm not sure how how the system works. If you sit down on a safe standing area, if the bar in front of you obscures your view, or the people standing in front of you is going to obscure your view, I'm not too sure how that would work. But I think you could put it everywhere in the ground. But I think behind the goal, it sort of creates the atmosphere, doesn't it? And I think that's where it'd be most effective.
Yeah, if you could get it there, I think it'd be really good. Right, so I put it out there to see what people say. Jason Faye said it has to be one of the things on the agenda of the new owner. North Lower should be standing. Jimmy Seed said, I think it's a great idea. Would add to the atmosphere. Might bring in more fans whilst being perfectly safe. Mark Anderson says, safe standing in the Lower North. Yes, please. And if any owner is reading, throw the away fans in the Upper West or part of the East Stand. Let's reclaim the Jimmy Seed too. Let's make CFC a horrible place to visit. Call me old school. Bill said, I think it would be great to have it down the valley. Would stop that hooligan Mark Anderson standing at the front of the North Lower as well. In Lee We Trust says up top of the North Upper would make the atmosphere even more banging. Tim Ruffle says yes. Matt Broad says def agree to have a section dedicated to safe standing. North Lower would make sense. Artful said make the whole of the Lower North standing as well. So I mean, obviously when you think about that, you have to think about where people who won't want to stand will want to be. So you'd have to think, and you have to worry about moving people as well. So it's something that requires a bit of thought. But if there is a bit, like say that North Upper where people do stand already, if they can, officially I think that's probably, they're not allowed to, but because they do it anyway, if they put it up there, it won't really harm anyone who's already up there.
No,
and
exactly.
It'll make it safe.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'd be welcome to it up there. I sit up there and I stand for the entire game, and there are those times where you celebrate that last minute.
Just like the police aren't listening.
I know. You need to be careful. Yeah, the last minute winners. You know, the late drama that we have sometimes at the Valley. You do tend to jump a little bit too high and end up a couple of rows down on someone's shoulders. But it would be something I'd like to see. But I think they'd probably trial it if they were going to introduce it. The North Lower seems to make sense because it's behind the goal. It's what you see on the TV. It looks good.
Yeah, Dr. Lazarus says safe standing will only work if the ticket price is half that of the seats, and that's not an excuse to put the seating price up after either. I don't think the ticket price would have to be different, really, because
I think people
would want that experience of standing up.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'd expect all of a sudden to pay less for it, but I might be wrong there. I don't think we would. Right, we had a message actually on the forum that says, what a brilliant day out. Cracking result to boot, says Mendonca and Asters. It was like the Notting Hill Carnival with the singing and the dancing going on amongst the Charlton faithful. Top two, course we can. Come on, you Reds there. The away end did seem to be bouncing from our vantage point yesterday. It looked like people were really enjoying it. Right, let's have some fun now. Last 5 minutes. I was very excited that we signed someone with the word purr in their name, because that's the noise a cat makes, and I like giving people ridiculous nicknames, so I've called Ben Purrington Ben the cat Purrington. That's his new nickname, so I wanted to see what other people thought would be funny nicknames for our players. Right, so what was your one again, Lewis?
Fossu Fuel,
that worked well. CFC tweets in Stavros Prattley, which
really
I was liked. Joe Ward, Dylan in the name of, nice. Michael Peck, Shabby Nabby. Johnny B. Williams from CFC again. Chris Solly the Wally from Michael Peck. Lewis Hurst, no way a Jose, nice. Aribo Starmix, Tinker Taylor, both of those from Michael Peck. Freddie Wells says Anthony Steeldick and Lewis Ram Page. I like that. Freddie Wells, Mr. Nabulous. I went for Absolutely Nabulous, which I quite liked. Toby's gone for Paddy Bauer. That's just his name, Toby. Adam Pearson said Jason Pierced off. CFC Bauer Power. And Mark Griffiths has then gone to Jose Mr. Lazy. That's a shame,
Nicky.
Isn't it? Yeah. Right, there was another one on the forum as well. Mark G said Williams could be the bearded wonder. So yeah, excellent stuff, everyone, coming up with the nicknames. Right, we're coming towards the end of the show, but just to add on to that discussion we were having about the top two. Now, Richard Justin says, hasn't Ben Thompson gone back to the Spanners from Pompey? He was outstanding for them. And that's true. I mean, the Portsmouth fans were really disappointed, but he has gone back. Now, of course, he got sent off against us. But yeah, he was a big player for them, not in stature, but in performances.
Yeah.
And he's gone though. So that's another thing that could just take away from a promotion rival.
Exactly. It's the little things you need to look for, isn't it? We've said already, Nathan Jones leaving Luton could knock their momentum. It could not, but it might. You know, that's the thing. And he's been there a while and he's had successful seasons. And it's the same. Thompson looked impressive against us, and he has in a lot of games for Portsmouth this season. And I know their fans were gutted that that he'd gone back. So we'll have to see with that one, see if their performance is dip. I mean, they lost yesterday to Blackpool, but we lost to Blackpool, so can't rub it in too much.
Yeah, right. A couple more nicknames come in. Bob Liscombe, Kitchen Billick, after his, I don't know if you saw that video of him doing the keepy uppies in the kitchen. That's pretty cool. And Johnny Wizard Williams as well. Now, this is a nice tweet that's coming from Nathaniel. Says, I'm very excited about this season. I'm coming back for the first time in 20 plus years next month, bringing my son, who is named after Charlton. He's 18 and he's never seen a match in person. Planning on seeing all the matches from AFC Wimbledon to Bristol Rovers away. Come on, you Reds. Well, that's brilliant, Nathaniel. Nice. I think he lives out in America now. I see on his, he lives out in Ohio. So brilliant, coming back for the first time in 20 years and hopefully coming back to see a Charlton team that are playing well. And I'm sure he'll look forward to that. Right, Sebo, on the safe standing, I would certainly try a couple of blocks to start off with in the upper north for the railed seating. The entire home end goal at Signal Iduna Park, which is very steep and is all railed seating, and the atmosphere there sounds absolutely amazing. It would be the same at the Valley. Yeah, you'd hope that if we did get that, it would help to improve the atmosphere here at the Valley. Right, we have run out of time here on this week's Charlton Live. It's always a lot of fun when we've had a big win like we did yesterday. So thanks to all of you who've joined in, especially with your emails and your tweets and your funny names and whatnot. Thanks for getting involved with the show. Hope you've enjoyed it. Lewis, thanks for coming in.
No problem, mate.
And yeah, good to see you here at the Valley. I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back here on Thursday with a big match preview looking ahead to next Saturday's home game with Accrington Stanley. But thanks for listening to this one. We shall see you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.